This free resource is from the 2013 Spiritual Leadership Conference in Lancaster, California, hosted by Pastor Paul Chapel in the Lancaster Baptist Church. This lesson is on discipleship through the adult Bible class with Gabe Rule. Brother Rule oversees the adult Sunday school ministry of Lancaster Baptist Church and is a graduate of West Coast Baptist College.
We're going to be looking at making disciples from 2 Timothy chapter number 2. And let me pray and we'll jump right in together. Dear Heavenly Father, we sure love you. Thank you for the privilege that we have to come and to gather together on this campus to fellowship, to be challenged from your word, to be encouraged, to be sharpened, to be edified, to be equipped. Lord, in this session, I pray that you would accomplish what it is that you desire to do. We're so thankful for the fact that we can look back in our lives and in our growth, and we can find the faces of people who took significant time to invest in us, to train us, to mentor us, to teach us about you and your precious word. And Lord, we're so thankful that someone journeyed with us a journey of faith to become your disciple. And what a joy it is to know you. And what a challenge it is to be like you. And what a privilege it is to disciple others. Lord, I pray that in this session we would be encouraged, we would be challenged, we would be sharpened, maybe an idea, something to help us more effectively make disciples for your name's sake. And we'll sure praise and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 2 is the theme verse for the Daily Word Discipleship Program here at Lancaster Baptist Church. And certainly familiar to you as a disciple as well. The Bible says, "In the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." And I'm grateful to be a part of a church that reaches everybody. We heard that this morning in the preaching and in the sessions and really thematically throughout the week. But I'm grateful to be a part of a church, and you would identify with this, that we want to reach everybody. We'll run buses anywhere. We'll knock doors anywhere. Everybody is welcome through our doors and to worship with us and to join in with us in learning of the Lord. And so we're in churches that we want to reach everybody. But God challenges you and I to identify faithful men. We're to reach everybody, but God encourages you and I to identify some faithful ones in whom we can disciple, in whom we can teach, in whom we can impart the faith that has once been delivered to you and I. And discipleship is certainly something that we're passionate about here at Lancaster Baptist Church. Certainly you share in that passion as a discipler, one leading a discipleship ministry. And we're passionate about it because it's multiplication. You understand that if we're going to win the world by me going and reaching as many people as I can, or by you going and reaching as many people as you can, it's going to take an awful long time. But if I can reach one and train him to reach one, and then if I go reach one while he reaches one, and then we train that person to reach one, and then the four of us, and then the eight of us, and then the 16, and so on and so on and so on, that's the way we're going to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so it's the multiplication factor, and it's helping that new believer become rooted, to become grounded, to know their faith and be able to teach it also. We heard the quote yesterday that disciple making is the central work of the people of Christ Church, the work of bringing men and women to a saving relationship to Jesus Christ and of helping them grow in knowledge and his likeness. And so we want to be disciple makers, and we want to effectively disciple, and whatever curriculum we're using or however it's working today in this session, we want to be encouraged and equipped to make disciples. And then if we're overseeing a discipleship ministry, how to more effectively produce more disciples through our local New Testament church. And so we're going to take a little bit of time and journey through what's discipleship, why do we have it, what are we trying to do, and maybe how best to do it. And these are just some ideas that we're sharing, some things that have been tried and true, some things that we're just trying, that we're still proving. And you may have some ideas as well, and we would certainly love to hear those. And so let's begin and jump in our notes with number one, the purpose of discipleship. What is the purpose of discipleship? What are we doing when we meet together for that purpose? Well, the Bible says in Matthew chapter number 28, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Now, in the commission that Christ gave his disciples, and subsequently the commission that we have today, the commission of our King to go and to make disciples, included in here is the teach. We're to go, we're to teach. The first teach there is to evangelize. Then we are to baptize, and then we are to teach. We are to share doctrine. We are to help root. We are to help them cultivate a knowledge of his word. And so the purpose of discipleship is to teach them the body of doctrine in which we have been given. I want us to notice, first of all, letter A, the purpose of it is because it's an equal part of the Great Commission. It's an equal part of the Great Commission. And sometimes, whether it's in our own lives or in our church, an imbalance can occur where maybe we're going, maybe we're witnessing, maybe we're baptizing, but maybe we're not teaching, maybe we're not discipling. And there may be an area where we're not as strong or not as involved as we should be. And God tells you and I as his child, listen, I want you to do all four. I want you to go. I want you to witness. I want you to have people baptized. And I want you to teach people the Word of God. It's an equal part of the Great Commission. There are four components, and God commissions all of us to accomplish those things for his honor and his glory. So I challenge us individually, whether we're a lay person who's discipling a church, whether we have the privilege of serving on a church staff, whether we're discipling, whether we're overseeing a discipleship ministry, whether we're the senior pastor, whatever the case may be, may all of us in this room go. Too many Christians are like travel agents. They're sending people to places they've never been. You and I cannot teach people things we're not practicing. Well, I used to do this. Well, I used to be involved in this. Well, I used to. Nobody wants to hear. You don't want to take live eggs and put them under dead hens. You want to learn from somebody who's doing it. You want to learn from somebody who just is fresh out there, fresh reaching people, fresh being used of the Lord. And so you and I in this room, and this isn't an outreach track session, but it's certainly a challenge to us. We want to be going. And I want to encourage all of us in this room. May we be going. May we prioritize it. May we schedule it. May we be going. Then may we be witnessing. And it's certainly my prayer that all of us in this room are consistently seeing people accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Well, Brother Gabe, it's been a while since I've seen someone accept Christ as their Savior. Well, how many did you witness to last week? How many did you witness to last month? Because I don't know about you, the more people I talk with, the more opportunities I have to witness. And the more that I witness, the more people I see accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. So when I'm not seeing somebody get saved or a convert down the aisle, I can back it up and usually see that I haven't been out or I haven't been asking like I should. And so I want to encourage us to be involved in going, and I want to encourage us to be involved in witnessing, and I want to encourage us in this room to be involved in seeing people get baptized. I believe that's something we've been commissioned to do. And everyone in this room should be involved in bringing people down the aisle. And this is someone who led the Lord this week, and they're here to get baptized, whatever the case may be. We want to be involved in that. But just as we should go, and just as we should evangelize, and just as we should see baptized, the Bible commands you and I in the Great Commission that we are to teach. We're to teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. We are commanded to disciple. So the purpose of this is to fulfill God's command and is an equal part of our commission given to us by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, think about this for a moment. When we go out soul winning, sometimes a church or a pastor might answer the question and say, well, we have outreach, we go soul winning, and we encourage people to witness, and we see people saved and baptized, but we really don't do discipleship because our discipleship is through the preaching ministry. And by the way, a lot of discipleship does happen from the pulpit. But stop and think about this for a second. Do not we encourage people to go soul winning individually? Do not you lead someone to the Lord individually? Do we not see people baptized individually? So we're going out soul winning two by two. We're sitting down with someone individually and showing them the gospel from the Word of God. We're individually baptizing a convert that's recently accepted Christ as their Savior. But then we just corporately disciple them. And I believe as we study the commission that God gives you, and I certainly corporately, the church is accomplishing these things, and we know the church is instituted by God to accomplish this, but I believe God lays the responsibility. The master laid the responsibility on the servant's shoulders to fill the house, and the Lord lays on us the responsibility to fulfill this commission and to be involved in discipleship. And I'm grateful, and I know that you are as well, to be a part of a church that has a discipleship program and effectively working together as individuals to disciple other individuals as well. So it's an equal part of the Great Commission. It deserves our attention. Letter B, it's an effective way to bear fruit that remains. Now God commands you and I in John 15, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. God commands you and I to bear fruit that remains. Now, there's oft been a criticism of maybe Independent Fundamental Baptist about all the people that we've led to the Lord. And sometimes people might say, boy, you've led all these hundreds to the Lord. Where are they? And I love Pastor Mike Ray's answer. They're somewhere. And wherever they are, they're saved. Amen. And we do thank the Lord for the fact that they know Christ as their Savior. We're thankful for the fact that a conversion indeed took place. But certainly it is a challenge to you and I to consider that discipleship is an important, vital element in bearing fruit that remains. When someone accepts Christ as their Savior, they're a newborn babe in Christ. They desire the sincere milk of the Word, but they're not ready for the meat of the Word. And we know that Satan is going to do all that he can to sift them as wheat. And certainly in the very beginning stages of their journey of growth, he's going to do all that they can. And discipleship can be such a big help in that moment to ensure fruit that remains. And you want to ask yourself individually as a discipler, if you've been at your church for a while, who's in my church because of me? How many graduates have we had in our discipleship program? We don't have a goal of how many get into discipleship, but we do have a goal this year for graduates. And we're working it tenaciously. And we're going to talk about that in this session. But we have a goal for graduates. We want to see people get all the way through and finish whatever the program you and your pastor put together to graduate, to finish that thing. Why? Because it's an effective way to bear fruit that remains. And it's establishing them in the Word. The Bible says in Colossians 2, there in the notes, and as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therewith with thanksgiving. And we don't have time nor need the time maybe to develop, but we know in our day and age, the onslaught of the attack against truth. So the person who accepts Christ as their Savior and then attends your church, and here's people that are separated, that are loving the Lord, that are living for the Lord, and many in the community might look and say, boy, they're like a cult. And as this, you know, Joe or Sally or whatever goes to work and they're a new babe in Christ and their faith is being challenged, we want them to be rooted. We want them to have an answer. We want them to know what it is we believe and why and where it's at in the Word of God and how they in love can speak the truth to others as well. I shared this statistic yesterday with our adult Bible classes, but I believe it bears true as well with our discipleship. 15% of those who attend church but only go to worship services are active after 5 years, but 87% of those who attend worship and a Sunday school class or get involved in a discipleship ministry are active after 5 years. And so it's helping us to develop fruit that remains. It's closing the back door, if you will. An effective discipleship program is accomplishing that. And then letter C, to establish a relationship. To establish a relationship. We talked about this a little bit yesterday in the adult session, but a discipler is a key component because you're developing a relationship. Here, our discipleship program is designed to go about 20 weeks. My wife and I are discipling a couple right now, and so every week we're connecting for an hour or more, and we're getting to know them. We're having them to our home. We're visiting them and so forth, and we're establishing a relationship. Well, that's going to help. Why? Because we need relationships. We need to be connected. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That includes friendships. That includes associations. That includes who you spend time with and where you spend that time. And so a discipler helps to solve some of that by establishing a relationship with them. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter number 10, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. I love that verse. Why? Because God has called you and I to provoke one another unto love and to good works. We, the New Testament motivation for living the Christian life, is to be constrained by the love of Christ. And so you and I, constrained by the love of Christ, are to provoke one another unto love and to good works, to love God more, to do good things for the Lord, to be faithful to His house, as it challenges there in verse number 25. And so the purpose of discipleship is to fulfill the Great Commission. It has been commissioned by the Lord. It is to root and to ground that new believer in the doctrine that has been once delivered to us, and then it is to establish a relationship. And I want to encourage everyone in this room, including myself who disciple, be sure that your weekly discipleship time is not your only time with your disciple. Boy, look for times of fellowship. Look for times of encouragement. Have them to your home. Look for times outside of that weekly meeting to get to know them. Why? Because you can influence from a distance, but you can really only impact from up close. And you want to be sure you're knowing that person. You want to be sure that this is a brother or sister in Christ, and you're celebrating the victories, and you're sympathetic and empathetic through the trials and some of the things that maybe they're facing, and you want to develop that relationship with them. And that's an important purpose of discipleship, this connection with someone else that is in the church. And the corporate picture of that, as they're getting connected to the pastor and the teacher and discipler, is a huge help for everyone involved. And then letter D, to expand the disciples' effectiveness. The purpose of discipleship is to expand the disciples' effectiveness. Again, we are making disciples. I believe with most discipleship programs, the goal is that when the person graduates, they can turn around and disciple someone else. My wife and I were discipling a couple that finished up in January or February timeframe, and we're discipling another couple now. But that guy that graduated back in February was soul winning with me 2 weeks ago on a Tuesday night, and we came across a family who's recently accepted Christ as Savior. They were just baptized on Sunday. They were a part of the Monday night program that you saw 2 days ago, and they need to be discipled. And we got back in my car after the visit, and I called him by name, and I said, "That'd be neat if you discipled them, wouldn't it?" And he kind of smiled, and he said, "You think we could do that?" I said, "Oh, yeah, I think you could. I think that'd be great. Wouldn't that be awesome?" I mean, they just finished a few months ago, now to turn right around and start discipling somebody else. But that's what it's about. That's what it's supposed to produce, to expand the disciples' effectiveness. We're expanding the idea that they're developing the discipline of being in the Word of God every day. Now, that's a basic, but we know without it, they're not going to grow. We know without it that they're not going to stand. We know without it they're not going to last or to be rooted. And so it's developing the discipline of being daily in the Word. Satan fights us, and Satan fights every person in whom we're ministering to or encouraging or discipling. And Satan doesn't take time off. Satan is relentless. Now, I can't be with every convert that I have 24/7, and neither can you, but God's Word can be. So I can make sure they have the Word of God. I can make sure they're studying the Word of God, and I can encourage them and help keep them accountable to be daily in the Word. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according all that is written therein. For them thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and them thou shalt have good success. That's not a maybe. That's a promise. That's a guarantee. If we will be in the Word of God morning and night, you're going to be successful. And this isn't the lesson, but it's a burden in my heart. As parents, that's the answer. Our kids being in the Word of God. It's a guarantee for success. To be in the Word of God every morning and every night. So developing that discipline. Developing discipline of daily prayer. Of daily prayer, encouraging them in a walk with the Lord. And there's a whole lesson on that in our discipleship programs. I'm sure there is in yours as well. But teaching them the model prayer in Matthew and teaching them about a prayer to the Lord and a prayer life. The Bible says in Mark, in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed to a solitary place and there prayed. If Jesus needed prayer, we need prayer. Our disciples need prayer. So we're developing that. We're developing the discipline of attending Wednesday nights. Now, I don't know when you do your discipleship. We do ours here on Wednesday night. We'll talk about some of the logistics here in just a minute. But part of that is producing the habit of going to church. I happen to believe Lee Robertson said it takes three to thrive. I've heard it said it takes four to soar. Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. So, and you could maybe add a few more there. And by the way, the Bible, they did it every day. And he told you and I, we should do it so much the more as you see the day approaching. I'm thankful to be a part of a church that has Sunday school and Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. And if we wanted to add a few more in there, I know I could use it. And a lot of people I work with could too. So I'm thankful for a desire to be around the Word of God and to hear it preached and taught as often as we can. And one of the things discipleship is doing is producing that habit of being in God's house. And that's certainly so important for every believer, but certainly a new believer as well. And then it's developing them to teach others also. And so the purpose of this, that we're fulfilling the Great Commission, that we're making disciples. But then let's look, secondly, this afternoon at the program for discipleship. The program for discipleship. 1 Corinthians 14:40 says that all things be done decently and in order. And let me just stop now and just kind of speak plainly and practically and simply about logistics and just how do we handle a discipleship here at Lancaster Baptist Church? And maybe just a couple of ideas. I don't know about you, when I go to a conference, I need to be challenged and convicted all of the time, and I need to be inspired, but I really want to get some ideas. I really want to understand, how does it work? How does it tick? How does it work on the side you can't see? That's what I want to know, and I want to figure out how to do what I'm doing better. And by the way, whatever ideas you have, we're wide open, but we want to do what we're doing as a labor of love with excellence unto the Lord, and we want to do it better. So let me just share some things here, and if some of this is an encouragement help to you, praise the Lord. The program for discipleship, letter A, we do it through our adult Bible fellowships. Now, everything here at Lancaster Baptist is done through the Adult Bible Fellowships, and certainly discipleship is done as that way as well. And so, as it's done through the Adult Bible Fellowships, that's where the prospects are developed. So, as someone maybe visits a class because somebody went, all right, that's step number one of the Great Commission. So, obviously, we're trying to follow back up and work on step number two to see if they're saved. Once they've accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, or we discover that decision's already been made in their life, then we're talking with them about baptism. That's the first step of obedience. If somebody's not going to get baptized, they're probably not going to finish your discipleship program.
That's right.
So we talk with them about baptism, taking that first step of faith and obedience. Once someone has been saved and baptized, we talk with them about discipleship. We want to enroll them in discipleship right away. Well, they don't even come on Sunday night yet. I know. They'll figure it out, but we want to get them in discipleship and get them there on Wednesday night. So we're looking through for new folks in through our adult Bible classes. And so we're developing prospect lists. And I on our weekly snapshot for our teachers, which is an adult class resource we handed out yesterday, but for all of our teachers, they get a list of prospects. So this is your list of prospects, people that have been visiting your class, that recently have been saved and baptized, that should be in discipleship, and we're encouraging them to go after that. So that's done through the adult Bible class, and it's typically for someone who has been saved and baptized. Now, sometimes somebody who maybe has a bit more of a fundamental background and been in a church of like faith and practice may not need it. They may want to disciple, though, and we have encouraged people here. If you want to disciple, then we want you to go through it. You may be able to go through it at an expedited pace, but we still want you to go through it so that you're familiar with it and being able to disciple someone else. And so that's how we would handle some of that here. We encourage everyone who is discipling to keep the teacher informed. So I have the privilege of overseeing discipleship here. But if Bob is discipling Bill and Bill is maybe getting ready to get laid off for having some problem, Bob is not necessarily going to come to me. He's going to go to his teacher. Hey, I was discipling so-and-so Wednesday night. He's got this bird I want you to know. The front line of all the ministry is the teacher. Now, that's not to say it's not going to come to me or to pastor or whatever along the line, but it's done through the classes, and that's the front line of ministry. And so we encourage our disciplers, keep your teacher informed. The disciplers are on the team of the teacher, and they're working together to disciple and to minister to those folks. And so the teacher then is keeping the leader informed. So about a half dozen or 20 of you raised your hand and said, I'm leading the discipleship program. Okay, so you want your teachers, you're working with your teachers. Your teachers are helping to identify the prospects. You're getting them enlisted into discipleship, and then they're keeping you abreast of the higher end needs as well. Here, we make sure that when someone is enlisted in discipleship, if we humanly can, they're partnered with the discipler from their class. So I have 3, 4, 5, 6 couples right now in discipleship every Wednesday night, and all of them are being discipled by couples from my class. And it's a beautiful thing to sit down on a Wednesday night and disciple, and here's so-and-so, and boy, we led them, Lord, and they came, and it's just awesome. It's great. It's incredible. And it's awesome camaraderie as well. And so we do it through the classes, and the discipler and the discipler from the same class, discipler's been there a little longer, they've already been discipled, they have a knowledge of the Word of God, and now they're teaching that new believer, and it's multiplication. It's the book of Acts happening right before us. And so that's the way we do it there. We use the daily in the Word curriculum, and we'll get to that a little bit later. And we make sure that it's structured through the class. In other words, this isn't just done for convenience. It's done for structure and accountability. Why? Because sometimes you might learn of, yeah, I'm discipling so-and-so. Really? Yeah, we've got our own ministry, and we meet at the diner, and you know, whatever. I mean, we don't have a lot of that. We structure it through the class. We know who the discipler is. We know who the disciplee is. We know what they're teaching. We know what lesson they're on. Why? Because we have to steward and shepherd this whole thing and give an account for it. So we run it through the classes for that benefit as well. And again, the disciple and disciplee coming from the same class if we can. So it's through our adult Bible fellowships. Then letter B, we do it here on Wednesday nights. Now, that's not in the Bible. You don't have to do it on Wednesday nights. That's just how it's done here, all right? Wednesday night service here begins at 7 p.m. This is Revels 209. This is where we meet. The room right above us is identical to this room in its layout, and they're set up with tables and then chairs on either side, kind of like a cafe type setup, and that's the way it is. This buffet over here is loaded with refreshments and maybe some bottles of water and juice and some cookies or brownies or something, some coffee in the winter and so forth, and same on the third floor, so there's lots of good refreshments available for folks to come in, and we want them to get something to eat and something to drink and then sit down as if it were a cafe and just a little bit more casual setting to open the Word of God and to take an hour and to study the things of the Word of God. And so it's on Wednesday nights. Now, we start right in here at 7 o'clock. We start with a word of prayer. So right at 7 o'clock, I would stand up here and I would inform everyone in discipleship about any pertinent announcements. You know, we've got a funeral coming up this time, whatever. Something they need to know that's being announced over there that they will not hear. And then we maybe give them a word of encouragement about their paperwork or something, and then we pray. And it's 7:05 at the latest, and we're into what we're doing. And then we'll run up and we'll do the same thing at 3:09. So we do it on Wednesday nights. It's done during church. So they're not in church now. They can go get a free copy of the CD of the service and the message. They can go online and get it for free. And when they graduate, they're habitually coming on Wednesday night. Now they're graduated to Bible study, and they'll be there until they start discipling someone back over here. And so it's on Wednesday nights. Again, we do the cafe style and we want it to feel different than going to church. We want it to have a unique feel that is structured to accomplish what we're trying to do. We do provide childcare. We provide childcare infant through 12th grade. Wednesday night works for us because discipleship and youth meet at the same time. So 7th through 12th grade have youth hour. We have discipleship. 1st through 6th grade have Cactus Kids Club, maybe like a Patch the Pirate Club or something of that nature. And then 5 years, infant through 5 is in nursery or some type of toddler class or something of that nature. So everyone in the family has a class to go to. And we make sure that that burden is lifted for parents so that they can focus and be involved in discipleship. And we pray that that's a blessing. We really encourage folks when they get in discipleship to stay faithful and to finish. One of the things that's offered here on Wednesday nights is electives. And there might be an elective on parenting. There might be an elective on finances. There might be an elective on, some kind of a Bible course or how to study the Word of God or something of that nature. And that's a blessing. And sometimes 5, 10, 15, 20, 50 folks will enlist and go to that for a 2, 3, 4 week span. And one of the things that we emphasized and stressed and implemented here was when you commit to discipleship, you stay in discipleship. You stay right in discipleship. You do your best to be faithful. If we had it our way, everybody would start discipleship and not miss 20 weeks until they were over and then be done. Now, it doesn't always work that way, but that's what you want to encourage. So you want to make it big. You want it emphasized from every pulpit around the campus that you can to be in discipleship, to be faithful, and to be committed to staying in it until it is done. And that's something you have to push. I want to tell you something. I think, Miss Debbie, we've got halfway into the year now, and maybe say for two or three Wednesdays, we've had people start discipleship for the first time every Wednesday night this year. It's a whole different ball game getting them through lesson number 20. Getting them through week number 20. And so you've got a balancing act as the leader. You have to keep the pedal down to get new people in. You got to be tenacious. You've got to have the prospect list. You've got to be working with your teachers. You've got to be making phone calls, writing letters, buttonhole people at church. You got to be tenacious about it. But then the people you have to have in, you got to be tenacious about keeping them in, because they like to fizzle out. They decided, we don't really want to do this, or Wednesday night's a challenge, or whatever, and you got to stay after it. And so it's a balancing act. It's keeping the new ones coming. It's keeping the ones that have already in committed. And so we do that through the adult Bible classes on Wednesday night. Let us see, then we use the daily and the word curriculum. Now, I've given you a copy of that. Again, some of you use it, some of you don't. We're not going to spend a lot of time on it. I've given you the answer key. This is just a free copy and resource for you if it's something that you're interested in. We have some certainly at the Striving Together store, but this is the curriculum that we use. It has 10 lessons. Our goal here is to accomplish this in 20 weeks. So on average, about 2 weeks per lesson is what it might take. Some might take a little less. Some might take a little more. Quite frankly, the pace is set by the disciple, because it really doesn't make a whole lot of sense to go to lesson three if they don't get it on lesson two. The idea is not to just hit the goal of graduates. The idea is to get that many people who truly got it, who truly understand, who are truly rooted, who are truly grounded. So we encourage our disciplers, let the disciples set the pace. And we'll give some little practical ideas about how to navigate around some things that might deter. But we allow them to set the pace so that they're getting it. And again, our goal is within 20 weeks. With the book, we have a website. DITW for Daily in the Word, discipleship.com. On there, there's a lot of other auxiliary resources that are helpful, and we encourage that to be used as well. In the Daily in the Word curriculum, there's a lot of Bible memorization. Whether you use that or whether you use something else, you want to stress Bible memory. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And so you want to stress scripture memorization in your discipleship program. Again, in the Daily in the Word program, there's a fair bit of writing out the scriptures. And that's a wonderful tool as well, to read it, to hear it, to write it out, all those functions. And we tell our disciples to assign that with discretion. If you've got a guy that's commuting an hour and a half and working all day and commuting an hour and a half back, and he's got a wife and four kids, he may not have time to write out everything that the curriculum's asking for, and that's okay. We're not going to hold somebody up because they couldn't write everything out. So we encourage them to design it with discretion. It's a great thing. Use it where and when you can, but have some discretion in that regard as well. And then let me give you a suggested session agenda. And I don't know if this is in the outline, but it's here. Again, we meet up here at 7 o'clock, a couple of brief announcements and maybe some housekeeping things, and then prayer, we jump right in. Here's what we encourage. The first 5 minutes, relate. What does that mean? Hey, how are you doing? How was your day? How was your week? How's the family? How's work? How are things? We're personally connecting. You doing okay? Good. I mean, just, and it's amazing as you develop a relationship with that person, what this is going to turn into. Sometimes this turns into the discipleship. But you're just relating with them. Just, how are you doing? Personable. Get to know them. Hey, you mentioned this last week and we prayed about how to go. You mentioned that doctor's appointment. You mentioned that job interview. You mentioned your son. And in this case, how's it going? I've been praying for you this week. Maybe jotting a note down and during the week, write him a letter. You mentioned this Wednesday night. I've been thinking about it. You doing all right? I've been praying for you. Send a text message. Call them. Relate to them. Make it personal. We're not going to make a difference until we've been inconvenienced. So relate. Get connected with them. Get to know them a little bit. So first of all, you want to relate, asking them questions and so forth. And then And maybe have a word of prayer. And again, we kind of do that corporately here, but depending on how it would apply to where you are. Then you want to review, okay? Now, you've had about 40 minutes or so the week before of teaching. And then you've assigned some homework. In ours, we have section and review times where there's a reflecting transfer and they've got to answer questions or memorize verses or whatever. I may assign them to look up half of the verses during the week, and I may only look up half while I'm teaching or whatever the case may be. And it's different for every lesson. It's different for every disciple. It's not a one size fits all because it's individual and you're trying to help this person grasp it all. So you'll review. And then in the daily word curriculum, you have the reflecting transfer sections that like lesson one might have section A, B, that type thing. And then it also has questions at the end of every lesson. So whatever homework you assigned the week before, you want to review it. Did they get it all done? Do they understand it? Do they have any questions? Make sure that where we have come to completion, they got it, okay? Then I want to get into my teaching. And I want to spend a good 40 minutes minimum teaching the Word of God. Just opening the Word of God and teaching. Studying the Word of God, looking up scriptures. They're reading scriptures. I'm reading scriptures. We're studying through the curriculum. We're learning the Word of God. And then when I'm done, I want to wrap up. And in my wrap up, I want to maybe just draw the net on everything we studied that night. I want to make sure that I clearly assign the homework that will be due the next week that we meet. And then I want to seek a commitment from them. They're going to be there next Wednesday. So, man, praise the Lord. We finished Lesson 6, Sections C and D. So, Arash and Sammy, now this week I want you to work on the reflecting transfers. You got two of them here, page 24 and page 27. Then you got the questions at the end, and then there's this our memory verse for this week. So, this is what I'm expecting you to do. And then next Wednesday, right back in here at 7 o'clock. Is that good? Good. Okay, here we go. And that's our wrap-up. So when we leave there, it's clear. This is what's, it's not we just leave and come back next week and then jump back in. No. This is supposed to be daily with us. And so it's clear when we leave, this is what we're supposed to accomplish while we are apart. Let me mention this during the 40 minutes of the teaching time as well. Be careful in your review and in your teaching about questions. Now, the beauty of one-on-one discipleship is that it has the format for questions. You know, have you ever been in a church service and the pastor said something and you said, that's interesting. I'd like to ask him about that. We can't just raise your hand and interrupt the whole service and have the conversation right there. You can in discipleship. That's the beauty of it. They can ask anything. That's the whole point. And that's what's so fun about being a discipler, is every disciple has a different question about whatever it is you're studying. So it keeps you on your toes and on your knees, but and in the book. But so it's a wonderful thing, and it's the beauty of discipleship. But you want to be careful with the questions that they're on track with what you're studying. And sometimes you might find with the disciple that the questions are just kind of coming from things they're hearing on the television or the internet or something. They have nothing to do with what you're studying, and they really don't even care. It's just kind of a distraction. What you want to say there is, you know, that's a wonderful question. And we're going to study this tonight, but let's get together sometime this week and look at that. And if it's really important to them, then you'll get to it and you'll figure it all out. But be careful not to get sidetracked. So you want to answer questions that relate to what you're trying to study, but you don't want to get bogged down there. And it might be, you know what, I need to do a little research on that and then get you an answer next week regarding that matter. So be careful with questions. Questions are a wonderful thing, but it's something you have to be careful of. And then letter D, track your progress. Track your progress. And again, this is just the program. These are just the logistics, but you want to track your progress. And I put in your outline a tracking form that we use here in Lancaster Baptist. And it's very simple. You get the information of your disciple, and you want to know their name and their address or phone number, what class they're in, when were they saved, when were they baptized, have they gone to the Starting Point New Members class you've been hearing about this week, when did they start discipleship. And then the end date will be inserted there when they're done. And then who's discipling them, the discipler's name. And so my wife and I, when we disciple and we're done, we just take this out. And we completed lesson one, maybe section B. And then we taught this on June 12th, and it went great, or something like that. It's very simple. And then we turn it into a basket on the refreshment table, and those are all collected. And as the leader, I get a snapshot every Friday of discipleship. Now, snapshot is not a familiar term for some of you because I taught this yesterday for adult teachers, but I get a form every Friday of who was in discipleship, what lesson are they on, who taught them. I get a report about who wasn't there and how many weeks have they missed. And here's a system we've implemented for me as the leader. Okay? If somebody missed discipleship 1 week, I'm going to write them a letter. Hey, I missed you in discipleship. Once I noticed you weren't there, and we're praying for it. I hope to see you next Wednesday. If they miss 2 weeks of discipleship in a row, and I'm talking about the discipler and the disciplee, I'm going to send them a postcard and I'm going to call them. Or Miss Debbie's going to help me and we're going to make some phone calls. Hey, we've missed you in discipleship. You're doing all right. We're meeting again on Wednesday night. We sure hope to see you. If they miss 3 weeks in a row, I'm going to let their teacher know, and they're going to go make a personal visit and let me know what's going on. Mm-hmm. Why? Because I can't let them fall through the cracks. I can't spend all this energy getting people in discipleship for them to fizzle out and me not know where they're at. We're never going to attain our goal, and we're certainly not going to make disciples. So we have to cultivate a passion for getting people in discipleship, but we better cultivate a system to keep them in discipleship and to see them through, again, provoking one another to love and good works, to encourage the brethren and to see them through maybe a difficult time or whatever the case may be. And so the progress report is critical. And every Wednesday night, I stress this in some way in my first 2 or 3 minutes before we pray. Why? Because I want them filled up. So when they come in on Wednesday night, they already have their book and their disciple has it because they've been working on it during the week. But when they come in, the discipleship secretary hands on their progress report. Hey, here you go. And so they get it back on Wednesday night and it's sitting there on their table and they're doing their discipleship and drinking their coffee and learning the Word of God. And then they finish with their wrap up and assigning homework and committing for next week. And then they fill this out and they go and they put it in a basket on the refreshment table before they leave. If they take this home, we fire them. No, but we call them. We get it back. We stay tenacious at it. And we remind them, turn that thing in. It's important. And so every Wednesday night, they get the form. Every Wednesday night, they turn the form back in. We take Thursdays off, but every Friday morning, we go through every form. And by the way, we take attendance on Wednesday night. So if we know somebody was there and we don't have their form, we call them. Hey, we don't have your form. It's really important we have it. Where did you finish up on? How'd it go? Okay, good. We're going to make that note. Make sure that gets back. Then we develop the report so that we can oversee it. Because the Lord has entrusted this to us and we want to make sure that we're stewarding it well. And so the tracking report is critical. And it's something. And you may use something different. You may use something better. But that's just an idea of something that we use and how we do it. And it's an important thing. Sometimes whenever your corporate time is, if you're doing it that way in church, doesn't work for everybody. Sometimes we have somebody that can't do it on Wednesday night. I have people starting coming up that they can't do it on Wednesday night. They have to do it on a Tuesday night or a Monday night or a Sunday afternoon or something like that. If that's the case, we still make sure they're reporting back to us every week. We want to know how they're doing. This isn't to say we don't trust them. It's just to say we want to make sure we're all staying accountable. We're all staying on the same page. That's right. And we want to make sure that we're helping one another in that way. So track your progress. So there's a reason we're doing it. Then there's a little bit of how we do it. But then let me share this with you and then give you a couple of other practical things as we close. Thirdly, the product of discipleship. The product of discipleship. What are we producing if we are making disciples? Well, letter A, we are producing committed followers of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 2 Timothy, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, and shall be able to teach others also." Our theme, but look at verse number 3, that thou endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. If we're not careful, we cultivate a domesticated faith. We know how to carry a Bible. We know how to wear a suit. We know how to say amen. We know how to go to church. But we don't know how to be a Christian. Discipleship is developing of soldiers. Well, we heard that preaching in that session this morning about where America is today, where America may be tomorrow, where America may be next year. I have 4 kids, 3, 5, 7, and 8. What America they might know in the future of their lives. And I know this, I can't afford for them not to be a soldier in their faith and in their knowledge of God's Word. That's what making disciples is all about. It's developing committed followers of Jesus Christ. In Acts we see, and they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. It's committed followers. Letter B, it's developing your new servants in the church. Your new servants in the church. This is an idea, and this I think we put in your notes as well. This is a spiritual gifts test. And inside of it is a ministry questionnaire, ministry survey for Lancaster Baptist Church. Here's something we did. And I'll share this with you for just a quick second. We have 10 lessons in our Daily in the Word Discipleship program. Something we started January 1. For years here, we used to do what you call a ministry involvement night. And it was one night a year. You put a big service on and you preach about getting involved in ministry and maybe displays about different ministries that need help and so forth. And you encourage people to get in. But we found that sometimes it was a big to-do, but maybe it didn't produce everything we needed. And with it only being like once a year, you've got the other 51 weeks of how do you assess the needs that you have? Here's what we came up with that we've tried since January, and we're enjoying it. We're still proving it, but here's what we're doing. It has 10 lessons. When somebody gets to lesson 7, that week they begin lesson number 7. We tell the discipler, you're going to spend the first 10 or 15 minutes doing this. You're going to help your disciple take the spiritual gifts test and a ministry survey. And then that night when you turn in your progress report, you turn it in. Okay? Then I get that. So now I know that disciple's spiritual gift and where they're interested in serving. Then I set up an appointment with them. It takes 10 minutes. I like to do them before and after discipleship on Wednesday nights, right in the room. Hey, you fill out this. This is wonderful. These are your spiritual gifts. That's exciting. You have an interest in driving a bus. Ma'am, you have an interest in serving in the nursery. That's wonderful. And we'll just, and just as part of the pastoral team, we're just screening them and talking with them and making sure we're on the same page. They understood it, and we're good to go. Once that's happened, then we give this to that ministry ed. Hey, Brother Bowler for a nursery, or Brother Furso for a bus route, this gentleman wants to be a driver. This lady wants to serve in 11 a.m. nursery every Sunday morning, or whatever. And then we follow through. So by the time they graduate from lesson number 10, they're in ministry. And the goal is not just to have 100 graduates from the discipleship program. The goal is to assimilate 100 new servants into the church, the army of the church. That's the goal. And so at lesson number 7, we've implemented these two steps and then a couple of personal meetings. By the way, the personal meetings are beautiful because then you can cover your standards, your leadership requirements, and maybe anything specific. Choir meets at this time. Nursery got to be background checked. Those types of things. You cover all that in those personal meetings. And then the goal being when they graduate, they go right into ministry. And then letter C, you're producing your future disciples. And again, the goal of an effective discipleship ministry is that when they graduate, they themselves can disciple someone else. And I know that's your heartbeat, and that is certainly mine as well. Let me mention a couple of other things. On the back of your outline, there is a discipler job description. And this is the one that we use here at Lancaster Baptist, and we just threw that in there for FYI, if that's a blessing to you. One of the things we most get requested for is, what do you all use for a discipleship completion form? And this is what we use, but better than that, we're putting it online. DITW.com for the discipleship website. You can download it. You can use it free of charge, and we want you to be able to have that. Here's something I just started doing a couple weeks ago. I think it's going to be great. For years, you know where we passed these out? Wednesday night. Wednesday night, as they went into the church, because now they're back in midweek Bible study, we passed this out, and hey, way to go, which is great. And I'm not against that celebration. You know, I was telling Debbie the other day, you know where I want to pass these out? In my class. Why? Because that's where I'm beating my head against the wall trying to get people in discipleship. So I'd like the platform, the accomplishment, these people finished. This is awesome. So I'm going to start passing this out in my class. And man, so-and-so just finished. This is exciting. Now, I know a couple of you are praying about it. Man, I hope you get involved. And we're going to start passing these out, discipleship completion forms through our adult Bible fellowships, because that's where you're trying to recruit them from anyway. And so you want to platform the accomplishment. That's just an idea we're doing. A couple cards I gave you. This is a discipleship enrollment card. And this is something we do if someone's interested. We might pass these like in every bulletin on an Easter or an open house Sunday, or some kind of day of special emphasis or appreciation. That's something we do. This is something that I love using. This is a discipleship information card. It's not rocket science. It's not detailed, but it tells you enough about it. And if I'm working, you know who I send this to? My prospect list. The people in my class that have been saved and baptized, and I'm trying to get committed to Wednesday night, I'm writing them and I'm putting that postcard in there. I'm taking it by their house. We're reading it together. We're praying over it together, whatever I can do. But I'm constantly looking for a tool that will help me communicate the next step for someone on their journey of faith. And so that's a card we developed that we're using.